Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, December the 12th. Today, we're going to talk about Alabama. I mean, they're voting. They're down to the last hour. By the time, I think sometime in the next couple of hours, you will know who won. My guess is that Moore's going to pull this out. It's going to be close, probably a lot closer than it should be. It may drag on for a while, but I think he's going to pull it out. And he's going to pull it out for one simple reason. His margin of error is a lot bigger than Jones. Jones really, everything has to go right for Jones to win, whereas Moore has a little bit more of a margin of error. It doesn't mean that he's going to win. You could have an upset today. I mean, I'm not saying that Jones couldn't win, but it's going to be close, but I'm going to give the edge to Moore because it's Alabama. If it was anywhere else, I think Jones would be winning this race. I guess we'll know in a couple of hours, but that's my prediction. And since I like to make predictions, that's the one I will make. I have a post over at the American Thinker this morning about Representative John Lewis. As you probably know, John Lewis was an icon of the civil rights movement, a man who I respect a great deal because of that history. He is now a Black Democrat. He's become a very partisan Black Democrat, which is very unfortunate because the country doesn't need any more partisanship, but he's become very partisan. And a couple of days ago, he decided not to show up at the Mississippi Civil Rights Museum because President Trump was attending and he didn't want to go. There was another congressman too who didn't go. And I think that's very unfortunate, extremely unfortunate. Well, we have to be talking in this country. Rather than avoiding each other, we need to be talking. And I also think it's very unfair what many Black Democrats are trying to do to President Trump with respect to racism. Look, there were reasons back in the primaries. There were reasons that I didn't support. You know, I didn't support Trump in the primaries, as all of you know who follow me in writing or follow my show. I didn't support him at all. I thought that he had a lot of problems. But he won the election. He won the election fair and square. And when he was, before he ran for office, when he was a businessman in New York, when he was known for his business successes, and also, I guess we have to admit, he also had a crazy personal life. We'll admit that. But he was never known as a racist. I mean, this is not a man who had, you know, a tradition of racism at all. On the contrary, he was very generous to many different organizations. He gave money substantially to Jesse Jackson. He donated to the Democrat Party. He donated to the Clinton Foundation. He donated to Planned Parenthood. I mean, those not exactly, none of those people ever gave or said that, you know, they were going to send the money back because Donald Trump was a racist. And I just think it's very unfortunate that we've come to the point that if you disagree with the Black Democrat leadership, that you're automatically assumed to be a racist. I mean, President Trump has differences of opinion, no question about it, with Black Democrats over public schools, over economic development, over job creation. But it seems to me that there should be opportunities for many of these Black Democrats to say, you know what? What ideas do you have to make our districts better? Because most of those Black districts are not doing very well. I mean, let's just call it what it is. They're not doing well at all. So I'm very, very disappointed that we've reached a point here where, yeah, you know, we're not even talking to each other. That's a shame. That's a shame that we've reached that point. And I think Representative Lewis should maybe look beyond the politics of all of this and maybe think a little bit more about his own district and some of these other Black districts, as I said, who are not doing very well under Democrat supervision, whether it's Baltimore, whether it's Detroit, whether it's Cleveland, whether it's Chicago. These areas are not doing very well under Democrat supervision, maybe a different idea from Donald Trump could actually help some of these communities. I have a post scheduled for Wednesday morning about what's happening down in Rio de Janeiro. You know, we wrote a post about this a couple of months ago about the violence in Rio de Janeiro, and it's now gotten to a point, 60,000 murders in the city of Rio de Janeiro. Now, this is a city of 6 million people, so you've got a lot of people living there, but 60,000 murders, that is one gigantic killing field. And this is all, of course, related to drugs. And what's interesting is that the violence or the shooting has actually spread out to some of the prisons across the country, because once the gang members are captured, they're sent to some state prisons, and then they keep fighting when they get there. And it's really, it's a real mess down in Rio. And I have a post about this coming out tomorrow. What a terrible thing to happen to a city that was known for music, a good time, the beaches. Certainly not for this kind of violence. Well, Senator Gillibrand of New York is calling on President Trump to resign. Now, she's become this is a really expedient and I would say cynical lady. This is a woman who stood with Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton all the way. She supported Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton campaigned for her. She said wonderful things about Bill Clinton, never called for his resignation until now. Now she says, well, maybe it would have been better off if Bill Clinton had resigned. Well, that's great timing. That's not a lot of political courage, though, to say that 20 years after the fact. And so all of a sudden, she's now, I think she's running for president, and she wants to become, you know, she wants to use this issue to jump into the presidential race. But, you know, again, I just think that this is an issue that the Democrats are going to be pounding on this issue quite a bit, because they're losing the Russia collusion. There's no Russia collusion. The economy seems to be picking up. Obamacare is a disaster. I just read this afternoon that enrollment is lagging in most places. So they don't really have a lot of tangible things to do other than to get into this issue of sexual harassment or sexual misconduct. And as I have said many times, as a man, I feel that sexual misconduct is completely out of place. And any man who engages in this behavior, whether it's in the office, in politics, wherever it may be, any man who engages in this kind of misconduct should pay a price, either resign or be terminated, whatever the case may be. In the private sector, of course, sometimes those decisions are a little bit quicker. So I don't respect a man who engages in this kind of sexual misconduct. But at the same time, you just can't have, you know, I also don't think it's fair for simply to somebody to come out and make an allegation and automatically the man has to, you know, has to prove the allegation wrong. I mean, like in the case of Judge Moore, this happened 35, 40 years ago. How do you prove something that happened 35 or 40 years ago? He said, she said. It's very difficult. And I just think that, you know, that there has to be some sensible way of addressing this. And I think what the Democrats are doing, they're just politicizing it. They just want to play games with it. And they're hoping that somehow this gets their base energized, because not much else is getting their base energized. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from one of our sponsors, and then we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. And as I mentioned, I'm predicting that Judge Moore is going to win tonight. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. I don't think that we'll know probably for a while. My guess is that it's going to be very close. But I was watching some of the analysts, and they're saying that in order for Judge Moore to win, he's got to do well in some of the suburbs like Birmingham and so on, where Donald Trump in 2016 had a big victory. We'll see. We'll see in a couple of hours. I guess in a couple of hours, you will know whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong. But I think, I have a feeling that that Judge Moore is going to pull this out, just because the state is so red. I mean, what else can you say? Well, more staffing problems over at the Russian investigation probe. And again, you know, every day we learn about this guy whose spouse was involved in this or who was doing this. And this is hurting the investigation. I don't know what else to say. it's really hurting the investigation. And those of us who are willing to give this investigation a fair shot, I mean, every day it becomes more and more difficult, because every day you're looking at the latest news and there's people in there who probably shouldn't be in there. You know, if you're going to investigate a Republican president, don't bring in a bunch of partisan Democrats as your lawyers. I mean, aren't there other lawyers out there in the country who would be willing to work in this kind of work? So I just think that there was some staffing mistakes that were made, and it may very well end up destroying the investigation. If we hear any more of these things, I think it's going to destroy the investigation or destroy the credibility of the investigation. President Trump's lawyers are now calling for an independent counsel to deal with the dossier and also the uranium sale. Now, I don't like independent counsel, so I'm not in favor of another independent counsel. I think we're seeing with Mueller some of the problems that creates. But somebody's got to take a look at this dossier. I mean, this is a huge problem, and somebody's got to take a look at it. And hopefully the Congress will do it. That's where I think these investigations should happen anyway. But this stuff about the dossier and the possibility that it could have gone to a FISA court to get a warrant, that is very scary. That is really very scary. And I think it should be investigated. There's an executive over at Facebook who is saying that social media is actually hurting our public discourse. I actually agree with that. And I like social media. Let me put it this way. I use it. I mean, I do a talk show on Blog Talk Radio. I have a Facebook account. I tweet. I have a blog. So I use social media to express myself. But one of the most frustrating things about social media is people who reply to you or call you names. And I think they're willing to do it on social media because, you never see the person, or the person can do it, you know, without identifying themselves. In the old days, if somebody wanted to disagree with you, it had to be in person, in your face. And that, of course, is a little bit more difficult when you are actually debating somebody face to face rather than, you know, on your computer, bang, 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 you know, you shoot out some negative stuff. So I do think social media is hurting the discourse, but I would argue that the way you deal with it, and that's the way, I mean, the way I deal with it is I just ignore comments that are, in my opinion, under the belt. I just ignore them. And because I look at the big picture. The big picture is I'm trying to get my word out. I'm trying to tell people what my positions are. And just because somebody calls me a bunch of names, I'm not going to stop expressing myself. But I do agree in principle that social media has made it more difficult for us to talk, because we're not seeing the person face to face like we did before. And I'll just give you a quick example of that. There's a person one time who I know who was shooting me some really difficult things and harsh things on Facebook. And then when I finally got together with this person and we talked face to face, I found the whole thing to be a lot more reasonable, that we, in fact, were not as far apart as I thought we were. And that's because face to face, you can be more effective in your ability to communicate than you can, I believe, on a simply social media chatting basis where you don't know the other person or never really look in the eye of the other person. We remember today Frank Sinatra. He was born on this day in 1915, passed away in 1998. Frank Sinatra, of course, one of the great, great singers of the 20th century, perhaps the greatest of all the American performers. Maybe not necessarily his voice. I mean, there were probably other men with better voices, but the impact of Sinatra was unbelievable on the radio and the movies. I mean, just an absolutely amazing performer. We say happy number 77, Dionne Warwick, another lady with a very pretty voice. She had lots and lots of hits back in the late 60s, early 70s. Very pretty voice. And we remember today for our Catholic friends, maybe you're going to Mass tonight. I am. We remember Our Lady of Guadalupe, who appeared on this day back in, I think, was it 1519 or 1619, something like that. It was a long time ago. Our Lady of Guadalupe, quite a tradition for those of us Catholics, particularly those of us Catholics from Latin America. Have a wonderful evening, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.